Welcome to Cinematic Anarchy, where an old boy and a not-so-old girl are going to speak about the Korean remake of Old Boy. This was special. This is really special. I'm not saying that is a good thing.
Yeah. I'm very conflicted about this movie.
I genuinely liked this movie. If only for the fact that it reminded me...
It was well made.
And before we really get deep into the film, let me just say that we personally have not seen the original 2003 Korean film, Old Boy, which was part of the Vengeance trilogy. So there was a three-part... I want to say, not a three-part thing. I'm not sure if they all combined together. I'm going to have to watch them. But it started with a movie called Sympathy for Mr. Vengeance. And then it goes to Old Boy. And then I'm not sure what the third film was. I want to say Sister Vengeance or something of that nature.
I think it was like 2 days ago or yesterday. I saw an ad on Facebook or some shit on Facebook that showed like little clips of the original Old Boy and fucking, I was like, oh, that's coincidental. Thanks, my NSA agent.
This was supposed to be sort of a direct American remake of the original film. From what I've heard, now I've listened to several other podcasts, I did notice one thing, okay? I listened to other podcasts occasionally before we sit down and watch something that was supposed to be super popular. This was not, but the original film was. And you can tell how beloved the original Korean film was, because if you look up podcasts for Old Boy, I couldn't find a fucking one that was on this one specifically. It was about the original 2003 one, and then they kind of dip in and say, by the way, Josh Brolin, you fucking suck dick, and then they kind of move on.
I wasn't a huge fan of Josh Brolin.
I'm gonna have to refute
that. But I had no idea that he was like every other villain and fucking, like, it's mad other shit.
Here's the thing about Josh Brolin, and this is
faces that is just another face in the crowd.
It's not even that. It's not that he's just another face in the crowd. I have seen so many movies with him in it, and Josh Brolin has this thing that he's able to do. Like, when you watch a Nick Cage movie, you're watching Nick Cage in a movie. No matter what role he does, it's, hey, Nicolas Cage is in that movie. Nicolas Cage is playing Ghost Rider. Nicolas Cage is playing this batshit crazy guy over here. You watch Tom Cruise, same effect. It's always Tom Cruise doing a role. It's not... They don't seem to lose themselves or become another person when they're in that role. Josh Brolin does the other thing, where he becomes so much about the role that you kind of forget he's Josh Brolin.
Yeah.
So
I had no idea it was fucking Thanos. Like,
I didn't realize that I've watched him. Yeah, Thanos. I didn't realize he was Cable in Deadpool. He was in No Country for Old Men. He was in Men in Black 3 as the early Tommy Jones. He was in fucking Goonies.
Yep. He was the older brother.
Yes. So that's the thing, is he's been in so many things, and he always owns the role. He is that role, no matter what it is. So you don't see Josh Brolin when you're watching the movie. You see whatever role he's thrown himself into.
Exactly.
So that's one of the reasons I liked this movie, in spite of the fact that it didn't get above a 30 in most areas critically. So whether it's we people rating it, or the people that actually get paid as critics, and I say we people because even though we do a fucking movie review podcast, we ain't getting really paid shit for it.
No, maybe a few cents every listen.
It's about 2 pennies per listen. So that's...
just about.
That doesn't go too quick. listen more. If you put your 2 cents in... Yeah, that's all I'm asking. You know, just enough to recycle a can. That's all I'm asking. So, we've never seen the original, so we don't get the tainted feeling that a lot of these other podcasts got by watching this film. Some people watched it after watching the original and are like, I really fucking hated this movie. I liked it.
Yeah.
But I don't have the original to put it up against.
Yeah.
I'm going to watch it. I'm going to find it. I will rent it.
I'll rent it when, you know, I get paid again.
That's the Chinese
food thing. I'm kind of trying to, like, be frugal with my money, and I kind of overspent yesterday at the beach.
Oh, well, you also overspent on the things that you needed to soothe the burn afterwards, right?
Yeah, true. Just the things to soothe the burn afterwards, I already had an aloe plant, and then I just picked up a fucking $5 aloe gel today.
Right. So you still spent $5 you didn't need to. It's just, you got burned.
Yeah. I mean, I was probably going to need it in Puerto Rico anyway. I got a pretty good sized jar for it.
What, 95 degree day, you're just going to sit in your house and swelter like you're sitting in a greenhouse on a summer day? Don't do it. Go to the beach. Sit next to the ocean.
Swim in the ocean. You don't think I'm not going to?
Right. You did.
You think...
You know what
exactly.
I did?
Exactly!
You know what I did on a 95 degree day?
I'm going to fucking Puerto Rico in 3 weeks. I'm going to be outside all the time.
You know what I need it. You know what I did on a 95 degree day?
Died.
I literally drove from department store to department store trying to find Ben a bathing suit. That's what I did. That was my day. Outside of that, I sat in this house.
It's impossible to find anything cute in these department stores.
What's cute? There's nothing cute in the department stores. It's all horrible.
Exactly.
Stuff.
I just said it's impossible to find anything cute here.
He tried on item after item.
You gotta go online, and then online, fucking, you can't really determine whether it's gonna be fucking like. It's going to run big or small or fucking whatever.
Right. And then you have me running back and forth between the main floor and the dressing room. Like, that's not the right size. Bring this one to me. You know,
I was the gopher. I'm so glad the mall is letting us fucking use dressing rooms again.
Right? They're packing them, too. Like, really packing them.
Yeah.
You know, there was a line to get into that dressing room. Like, a big one. And it's like, nobody's doing 6 feet nothing. They're like, you know, well... I'm not even going to get into that. Crotch to butt, just that close. That was very close to being a rather perverse conga line. That's all I'm saying.
We got very far off topic.
Very far off topic. Because.
Because Josh Brolin is kind of forgettable. Yeah, but not really. Like, he as a person is kind of forgettable, but his characters aren't.
His characters are not forgettable. I just don't... always remember that I'm looking at Josh Brolin when he's doing them. That's the thing. So
didn't even look like the same fucking person.
And in all honesty, Elizabeth Olsen was just sort of nondescript in this movie, even as the love interest / daughter. That's oh, spoilers!
And spoiler, good job, Christopher!
Wait, no, fuck that. No, wait, hold on. We're 7 minutes into this, right? Every single podcast we do has a spoiler warning at the beginning.
I know, but we haven't even fucking gone through the whole story.
Well, fuck me. So you guys, if you haven't watched the movie from 2013, Old Boy, you're able to kick me. I'll explain how we get to point A we'll explain how we get from point A to point B here.
Oh my God.
Josh Brolin. Josh Brolin is a perpetual alcoholic and an asshole and a womanizer and the guy that will literally whip his dick out anywhere and piss on the sidewalk. As you saw in the beginning.
Yeah, but that was what, 1993?
That's not 19. Well, I guess that would have been 1993 for him, yes.
Yeah.
Right. It still wasn't okay to whip your dick out and piss on the sidewalk. He was the kind of 92? Alcoholic. No, it was 93. Because if we're talking the movie is 2013, it would be 93.
Is that when it came out?
Yeah, 2013.
Oh, I don't know. I don't have any references in front of me right now.
So the original
last
film...
time I watched it was a week ago.
The original film came out in 2003. This was released 10 years later. A film directed by Spike Lee, which honestly surprised me.
I know about Spike Lee.
I watched a lot of Spike Lee films. I didn't feel like this was a Spike Lee film at all.
No.
But apparently he was restrained by the studios a little bit to get things done in a certain way, so... I don't know. So, honestly, he was the kind of guy that... drinks so much that he falls asleep on the sidewalk in a pile of his own puke. That's how much of a drunk this guy was. So immediately...
And he tripped out on his daughter's third birthday.
Right. That was part of it. Yeah, he completely fucking flaked. He didn't just flake. He said,
fuck it. She's not going to remember. It doesn't matter if I'm not going to be there. I have to work. And then he went and got shit-faced.
Well, I think his drinking was the reason why he wasn't there to begin with. I think just sort of forgot.
He went out to a work dinner.
Went out to a work dinner, hit on the...
with that guy and
hit
his
on
wife.
The wife of the guy. That that was really shitty. Like, you're trying to close a business deal, you're like, hey.
Oh my god, he handled that fucking this dude fucking leans down, he's like, listen, buddy, you can disrespect me. He's like, I'm so sorry. He's like, no, it's fine, it's fine. I mean, I get it. You can disrespect me all you want, but you insult my wife, and we're gonna have a fucking serious problem. And she's like, he's not worth it, baby. And they start walking off, but right before they walk away, he just gives him a nice little pimp slap.
Right across the cheek.
And leaves him humiliated.
I mean, good. Defend your wife.
It was it was like watching Swan fucking Lake, man. So smooth.
I don't think there are enough guys that are willing to bitch slap somebody for being a prick in public. I really don't.
Oh, Fredo absolutely would.
Well, I mean, there's a lot to... kind of, I don't want to say be fearful of, but I feel like a lot of people kind of are apprehensive to stand up for somebody else just because chivalry, for the most part, I don't want to say is dead, but people beat it the fuck down. Like, hey, don't hold the door for me. I can hold the door for myself. Don't pull out the chair for me. I've got that myself, you know?
Yeah, it's getting there.
It's like, I don't want to have to explain to you that I'm not trying to treat you like a lesser human being. I'm just trying to do something that I feel was polite because that's how I was raised, you know?
I mean, if they reject, then fuck it, move on.
It's like, all right, and I'm holding the door here.
Have a good one.
I'm holding the door right here because in about 5 seconds you're going to realize that the spring mechanism up here is pretty much let loose, and when this shuts, it shuts heavy. Bam! Okay, bye!
Right?
You don't know how often I've wanted to just not let swing, but literally just push the door shut in somebody's face for being an asshole.
Done that.
Yeah. I don't ask a lot. If I hold the door for somebody, first of all, don't have 50 people pile through right afterwards. Second of all, you know, it's got to be a chain. It's like I hold one person, then the next person holds, and don't make me hold for all 50 people, but also a little nod or a wave or a grin or something to acknowledge the fact that I just held the fucking door for you. That's all I ask. It's like the same courtesy in public. If I let you go, if I stop and let you go out of the intersection when I don't have to, just give me a little wave. Hey, thank you, you know? That's all I'm asking.
Yeah, fuck it. But anyway, back to the movie.
Courtesy. Okay, so this drunken alcoholic prick who had just basically told off his wife is wandering the streets shit-faced after getting bitch-slapped.
Screaming, does anybody have more alcohol? To an empty street.
Oh, not just empty. I mean, he's waking people up because they're cussing at him out of their windows.
Yeah, it's like 3 a.m.
Shut the fuck up! It's 3 a.m., you know? And somehow he stumbles into Chinatown.
So no, he goes to his buddy's Barb's place.
No, he ran across the girl first.
Oh, that's right.
Runs across the girl.
Give me $5.
With
$5.
The duck. $5. How much is this? I didn't even ask you about anything yet. What do you mean $5? Okay, you pick something. Okay, how much for the duck? $5. So apparently everything
like,
that she was
selling. You give me $5. I'll give you $5.
That seems like the end of a bad joke. $5. $5? No.
Yeah.
Okay. $5 make you holler.
No, I know what you mean. You don't have to explain.
Yes. I do. Of course I do. So he buys this grotesque looking duck, which we will get back to in a few moments. And he goes to his
grotesque looking.
It was not the prettiest looking duck.
It's a duck.
It's a rubber duck.
It was cute.
It was a weird looking duck.
It was a fucking Chinese duck.
It was weird.
It wasn't weird, it was cultural.
Yeah, but it was...
Fine.
It was not cultural for him, though. So,
no.
I thought it was a weird-looking
duck. It was his daughter's third birthday, and he had to show up with something.
She's not going to remember the duck anyway. It's going to be something she plays with in the bathtub. There's a bunch of mold inside of it, and then they throw it out.
Exactly.
That's how ducks work.
It's something to show that he got something for his daughter to show to his ex-wife.
Exactly. And it'll also show to his ex-wife that he was definitely picking out the toy drunk.
Yep.
Yeah, just a little. And he goes to his buddy's place, and his buddy does not let him in. Goes to his buddy's place just drunk, shit-faced out of his mind. He's like, nope!
His buddy owns a bar, by the way. Right. They're high school friends.
Well, he was obviously going there to drink some more, and his buddy just like, nope, you gotta walk that off. Go bring it home. And shut him out of the bar. And not more than a few moments later, he is greeted by, well, I'm guessing...
A woman that he was eyeing at the bar before when he was at the dinner.
The woman with the yellow umbrella.
Yep. With 20
right.
scratched into, or painted on the top of it, like the 5 tally marks.
Exactly. And the next thing he knows, he wakes up in what is probably the shittiest Motel 6 room ever. And brings about one of my first questions in the film. What was the purpose to having
creating that whole facility?
Not just that.
Just for him?
The purpose to leaving the shower running. I wanted to know what that purpose was.
I think it was just to fuck with him.
You think it was just to fuck with him? To just... make it, give him a little bit longer before he realizes he's in some shit.
Yeah.
Like, they just left the water running. He thought somebody was in there. I mean, he thought the girl was in there. He's like, hey, I gotta take a piss. You mind? No? Yep.
And then he flushed the toilet. I'm so sorry, because back then, flush a toilet, you give everyone either extremely hot or extremely cold water.
Flushing the toilet, it takes away the cold water, so I'm guessing scalding burns.
Like, oh my god, I'm so sorry, I'm so sorry. Opened the curtain and there was nobody there.
Back in the day, you flushed the toilet, you're boiling lobsters in the shower. That's what you're doing.
And all they fed him was Chinese food.
The dumplings. And he obviously did not like dumplings. Like,
no.
He had to learn to love these particular dumplings because that's all they
fed him. No, he still didn't like them.
Well, I mean, what I'm saying is not learn to love, but learn to tolerate them enough to eat them, because you saw his reaction to the dumplings when he left.
Yeah.
He was getting sick left and right trying to eat these other dumplings. Because he's obviously not fond of them, like, to the point that he gets viciously ill. I'm not sure why that is, or maybe it's just sort of a
psychosomatic thing. Some people just have severe aversions to certain foods.
Yeah, maybe a bad memory is attached to those, as you can see.
I don't know.
They keep him down there for 20 years. In this two-room, I want to say two-room, because, you know, you have the bathroom and you have the main room.
Bedroom and the bathroom, yeah.
That's it. And his meal every day, they did throw orange juice in at one point, I did notice. But for the most part...
Yeah, and they also cooked up the little mouse family that he found.
Right, he found the mice, and the mice had a thing of babies, and then they knocked him out again, and they cooked up the mice and fed it to him. That was fucking sad.
No, he wouldn't eat it.
No, they could. Well, they fed it to him. I didn't say he ate it. I just they put it on a platter, and it's like, here's a special meal today.
They served it to him.
It's like, you know what? This teaches you to grow any kind of attachment to anything. They were really trying to fuck with him, is what they were doing.
And they gave him TV.
They gave him
TV. But the only shows were the ones that they pre-recorded and allowed him to watch.
So I think the main show that he was able to watch was this one show about basically... unsolved murders, and one of the big murders was the murder of his wife that they were following for almost 20 years.
Crimes of mystery.
And that fella, the
stupid ass name,
the gentleman that is the reporter on Crimes of Mystery, is also Doogie Howser's best friend. Doogie. Yeah. So from the television show Doogie Howser, that was his best friend. I want to say Vinny, maybe.
I wouldn't know. I didn't watch it.
I can't remember what the kid's name was. It has been so long since I've seen that show. You never watched it?
No.
Yeah.
It's something my mom might have watched.
You just made me feel so old. Oh, my God.
Yeah, well, I mean...
I watched it growing up. So, yeah.
Oh, well. Yeah. So my mom would remember it. My mom's, like, significantly older than you, dude.
I might be old enough to be your dad. That's up. Oh, okay. I'm going to...
I think my dad's, like, 60.
Well, I mean, if I had kids young.
Or like 58.
How old are you?
I'm 28.
28. Oh, no, definitely not. Definitely not. Never mind. I'm not having kids that young. Kind of a horny little tween was I. Shit. Okay,
moving on. I seem like a young person with an old soul and da-da-da.
I would have guessed early 20s. I didn't think that you were 28. Why did I think that you were a lot younger 28. Than that?
It's because you met me when I was, like, 22.
It has been a while, hasn't it? Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I think my place of business has possibly taken several years of my life. Wow.
Right? When you really think of it?
And, because I met you at that job. That's where I met you. And now, wow, that's 6 years. Damn. Woo.
At least.
At least.
I knew you. I knew you well before that. And like, you remember when I was going through that whole Muffin thing when Muffin died?
Yep, I remember.
Yeah. You know, that was years after we met. That was at least 6 years ago.
That was, yeah, that's, it's been a while, wow.
Yeah, it's been like 8 or 9 years.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
I think the job.
Anyway.
Wow, yeah, okay. Dead silence, a moment of silence for the years that I've lost. Okay. Anyway. Right. moving on, back into the movie. We're watching Josh Brolin basically go through the motions of his imprisonment in this room.
They show him like clips of his daughter as she's growing up on like the news and shit, where she's this famous cellist, right? Is that the word for it?
I believe cellist. Yes, that's the she was playing
someone
the cello.
Who plays cello.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
She's
a famous cellist. She's fucking amazing. Growing up, and then that she had this interview where she's like, "I never really knew my mom or my dad, but I feel like I could, you know, try and find it in my heart to trust him and like forgive him maybe." And like that's what gave him the motivation to try and break out, and then they gassed him again, and then he woke up in a fucking trunk.
We missed
one of those like closed trunks.
We missed one of the most uncomfortable parts of the movie. During the beginning of his imprisonment.
Oh god, I don't want to talk about that.
They play some fucked up, I don't know. I don't even know how to explain it.
It's like an 80s version of like a workout video.
I've seen workout videos in the 80s. That was softcore porn. That wasn't a workout video. That was like take out Susan Summers and give the same job to somebody who's doing low-level porn. That's what that was. And it was for a purpose. Because basically, that's how the shortly thereafter the murder took place. Because there was his wife was raped and murdered, and the semen that was created from him watching the Thighmaster video was, you know,
after he jerked off to it.
He jerked off, I guess, got it on his clothes or his pillow or whatever, and they gassed him.
Yep.
The only thing that bothers me about that
first reported on his wife's murder was fucking Cece from New Girl.
Exactly. Right.
That threw me off.
I was seeing all sorts of people that I knew in this movie, like, wow. Okay, right? How did I not watch this movie before?
Rami Malek,
yep, he was in there.
Malek.
Chris Imperioli from The Sopranos.
Yep.
He plays Joe's buddy. It was just a weird movie. Like, I didn't expect all of these, like, famous faces that I've seen in so many other things in this film. And Josh Brolin, of course, I think he did a really good job for what he was given.
Yeah.
There was some moments where I thought was just a little melodramatic. Just a little. Like, overacted.
The fucking high school fight?
That was beautiful. I'm sorry. Like, I loved the fight scenes.
Okay, first of all, how the fuck can he fight like that? All he did was work out. He doesn't know choreography and shit.
You know, all you see is working out in this film. From what I understood from listening to a couple podcasts about the older film, the guy from the older film actually drew something or set something up on the wall, so he was practicing fight moves while he was in imprisonment. So it wasn't just working out, he was actually practicing combat.
Okay.
So it was kind of believable that he left his years of imprisonment. I think in the original film it was only 15 years, not 20. So that made the girl barely of legal age when he met her. That being said, I think that might be something they skipped with this movie. Like, it was something they should have done. Like, they should have shown him practicing combat within the room to show that he was actually kind of building up. Not just toning up and exercising, but building up for a fight when he left. You could see him pacing and making his list of who the hell did I piss off? Who stuck me here? But other than that, it was just him exercising and going through the motions of eating disgusting dumplings and drinking vodka.
And he had to fucking force himself off vodka.
He had to. I mean, that was part of the exercise
routine. They kept feeding it to him.
And
every day.
I mean, what else was he supposed to do if that's all they were giving him to drink, though?
Yeah.
I mean, at that point, couldn't you have...
Surprised he didn't fucking die of cirrhosis.
Well, at that point, I mean, couldn't he have made the conscious choice to keep one of the bottles of vodka and use it to draw water from the sink and just drink water? I mean, that...
I don't know. I mean, he could have. I'm sure that might have been what he started doing, but it doesn't show you that.
No, I mean, it doesn't show... It doesn't really show when he stopped drinking vodka, you know?
No, it does.
It does?
It does. He goes through this whole thing, fucking, like, he starts dumping the bottles and throwing them around and...
Yes, but, I mean, he's only got dumplings after that. I mean, wouldn't they have to give him something else to drink?
No, because he's got the sink.
Right, I mean, I'm guessing he drank water and kept off the vodka. You know, yeah. Go in the shower and just open your mouth.
There you go.
You know, bathe, clean yourself, and hydrate with the shower water.
Fucking, but yeah, no. So he goes through all these motions. Fucking wakes up in this clothes trunk thing, and sees the same woman that lured him in from 20 years ago, standing at the edge of the forest.
You know, when I saw the clothes trunk, when he first gets out of the clothes trunk, I thought that it was like one of those weird things. Like, this was before I saw the movie. I just saw the cover. I saw him getting out of the thing in like a
clip. I genuinely thought it was Jim Carrey.
Jim Carrey? It kind of looked like him from The Bad Batch. Just a little.
Right?
I agree. It kind of looked just a little like that weathered version of Jim Carrey in The Bad Batch. But when I saw him get out of the trunk, I thought the trunk was just like a dummy thing that they put on top of the exit for him to get out. That's what I thought at first. Because all the clips that I saw kind of made me feel like visually he was climbing out of the trunk or like out of the little hotel room and into the world. Like that's how they let him free. Not the case.
Nope.
No, not at all.
They just shoved him in a trunk, threw him in a field, and fucking went about their way.
Well, they threw him in a field and then had another girl with a yellow umbrella waiting for him there. Just
not
like
the another girl. It was the same one.
Oh, it couldn't have been the same one. Because that was 20 years ago. The girl that had the umbrella was younger. It wasn't a near to 40-year-old woman.
Do you know how good their fucking skincare is?
I don't want to make assumptions. I don't want to make assumptions except for about the fact that I don't think she's a 40-year-old woman. That's all I'm going to do.
Okay.
You have your opinion. I have my opinion.
I'm just saying.
Opinion may not be reality.
I'm just saying, Asian women have this somehow fucking flawless skincare that I need to get on because goddamn.
Anybody.
I don't know what they do, but they fucking, I don't know. They always look fucking flawless. I'll never understand. That's just magical.
Anybody that is not Caucasian and white seems to have a wonderful skincare routine.
honestly, it's just genetics. We're the deformity.
Will Smith, how do you still look this fucking young? How? How? We can talk about Will Smith because he was in a movie with him. That being said, so he leaves and immediately runs after this woman. Does he get into the fight? Because he's going after the woman. He gets in a fight with the football team or the jocks on the way as he's going after this woman. Because she just walks right past them.
She walks past them, he catches up to her, grabs her arm, and then she's like, let me go, and all the footballers fucking, like, crowd around him, and they're like, dude, back the fuck off, don't touch her.
Which was their mistake.
To be fucking nice guys and protect this woman who just clearly got grabbed by a random dude that looks aggressive as fuck, and they got the shit kicked out of them.
Oh, yeah. I mean, in their defense...
I'm pretty sure a couple of them are dead.
Oh, no, I think everybody... I only saw one guy moving. There was only one guy moving. I believe he killed everybody but one.
Unnecessary.
So...
And all their girlfriends were right there.
Can I just say that based off of that one incident, the rest of the movie's already ruined. We'll get to it. We're about to get to why it's ruined. But he goes through all the motions. He gets past this guy. He gets past these guys by beating them to a pulp. And the next scene is basically him running down... somebody holding the umbrella, and it's some homeless guy in line waiting to be somebody look at him. It's one of those charitable vans that do, my brain is just not working. Wow, what time is it already? It's already past 10 o'clock. Yeah, I think I'm dead.
it was a free traveling clinic.
It was run by, Elizabeth Olsen, and the gentleman that plays Eddie from the It films, the most recent It films.
Yep.
The adult version of Eddie, anyway. It's not some kid. so he runs this guy down and basically attacks him for the umbrella, wondering where she is and blah, blah, blah. And this is when we get the first interaction between Thanos and the Scarlet Witch. Josh Brolin, Elizabeth Olsen, Joe, and what's her name? Mia? Is it Mia?
Mia.
Joe and Mia? Or I thought was
no, he, no, no, Mia's no, his daughter's daughter. Name is Mia.
What was her name? I mean, technically, she is Mia.
Shut up, Christopher! We're not there yet!
I already ruined it at the beginning, though!
I know you did, but fucking goddammit!
So this is Marie. This is Marie. Okay? Marie. Are we better? Are we better?
Yeah.
Can you tell that I don't give a fuck if I ruin it for these people at all?
Just, at all.
I'm going to ruin it and ruin it and ruin it. I gave you a warning at the beginning because I have such bad ADHD brain that I just... By the way, here's the ending. We're almost 30 minutes away from talking about it, but here it is. So he basically runs across her. This is the scene where she basically, hey, well, you know what? I realize you're about to run off, so here, take my card in case you ever need me. Which is weird anyway. I think she thought he was homeless, which he kind of looks it.
Kind of was.
He kind of looked it. He looked really rough. And I guess his next move was to run off to his buddy's place again. Hey, it's Joe. I love how his friend looks at him and is like, do I know you? I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Do you remember what Joe looked like?
It's been 20 years. He assumed his friend was dead.
But he looks exactly the same. Just
no
hair. No,
the fuck he doesn't.
Oh, yes, he does.
No, he doesn't.
He doesn't have the hair that he did back then.
He's got a skinnier face. He's got fucking facial scars and shit from, like, picking at acne and shit. I don't know.
Yeah, he looks the same.
Yeah,
look,
no.
This isn't a Clark Kent situation where you put on some glasses and you look totally different. No, yeah, he has a shaved head.
I'm telling you, I would not have recognized him if I was in the same position.
He grew up with this guy. He should have been able to tell who he was just by looking at him.
Yeah, and it's been 20 years, and he's been tending a bar, probably fucking smoking and drinking and doing all kinds of shit, and it fucks with the memory. You know how many people I've met hundreds of times, and right now, a good amount of them I wouldn't be able to recognize?
I rarely run across a person that I don't physically recognize.
Not because of drugs or anything, but because I haven't seen them in fucking ages.
I rarely run across a person that I don't physically recognize. My biggest problem is remembering names. I suck with fucking names. So people will come up to
me
like,
too.
Oh my god, Chris, how are you doing? And I'm like, hey, you? How are you?
I don't even fucking try to say anyone's name anymore. I'm just like, hey, how you doing?
Yeah, it's like, I remember your face and I can remember the things that we used to do, but your name just was not important enough to stick up there. I'm sorry. It didn't stick.
I blame everything on the fucking pandemic now. I don't remember goddamn shit. My brain doesn't work anymore because I fucking was stuck inside a house for 2 years.
Before we go to a quick break, I'm going to blame it on the church. I'm blaming it on the church. You know why I blame it on the church?
Okay. Because you can.
When I first moved down to Georgia, we lived with a woman who basically liked to bring us to church. And when you go to church, what that is as a new person, you're required to remember the names of 500 fucking people. They got to remember 4. I have to remember the names of everybody. It's like, I don't know you, I don't know you, I don't know you. To this day, I cannot tell you a single person's name from that original church that I went to down there.
Dude, same.
But that was
I know
the,
exactly what you fucking mean.
That was part of the requirement of living with this woman. It's like, nope, you're going to church on Sundays. And it's like, okay. And some of the people were fine. The guy preached some serious fucking hate, though. You know, and it's like,
See, that wasn't the problem at my church. Our church was relatively progressive up until the younger people took over.
Well, here's the thing, is that this is also, you're talking about a New England church, not a Southern church.
Yeah, true.
And I'm not saying anything against Southern churches. There's some good and there's some bad down there. You have some good churches and then you have some Westboro Baptist churches, you know. There's some ones that preach hate, you know, and then there's ones that preach love and acceptance. Unfortunately, that second one, they tend to be far and few between, and even some of the ones that seem like they're all about the love, they're not. It's just kind of masked by other things. All right, we're going to take a very quick break, and we're not going to talk about church when we come back, I fucking promise you. No more church. Listen to the sponsors. We'll be back. Okay, so we're back from our sponsorship, and so before we got sidetracked with me talking about the state of the church in Georgia, we were basically at Chucky's place. He was back at the bar. He has basically reconnected with his buddy. Buddy drags him in, and he tells him his entire story about where he's been for the past 20 years.
And Chucky's like, I thought you were fucking dead, dude. He's like, I just need a couple of days. I need to find some people.
Figure some shit out. He was dead and a murderer is what he thought.
Yeah, right.
Because, I mean, that's what everybody knew. I mean, outside of the fact that, you know, they had this television, this show going. Basically, you know, his wife was murdered in real life. So at this point, all we know is that the wife was murdered. Television show is showing it over and over. Everybody in the real world knows that the wife was murdered, and that the daughter has been put up for adoption. Nobody really knows where the daughter is at this point, though.
Yeah.
And so, when he wakes up out of the trunk, one of the first things he realizes is that he's been given a telephone, along with a couple of other little things to kind of help him along.
And shit ton of cash, and a pair of sunglasses.
The whole point here was that he needs to figure out who was the one that put him in there.
He had a certain amount of time, had to figure out who put him in there, why they put him in there, and find his daughter.
So the first thing is he's going over his list. He's basically trying to find all of the people that he might have inadvertently pissed off. And his buddy's like, he's going over this list, and his buddy's like, what did he do to you? He goes, no, it's not about what he did to me, it's what I did to him. So that's the problem his buddy missed, because his buddy, I mean, that's what friends kind of do. They kind of overlook your flaws a little bit, and they kind of push through, and he was obviously overlooking his buddy's pretty big flaws. Because he's looking for a list of, hey, you know, who would have put me in prison for 20 fucking years? And, wow, I have a very, very loud car going by my house right now. Wow. We have no soundproofing here, so when somebody who seems to have lost their muffler somewhere between point A and point B goes by, it sounds pretty fucking awful. It sounded like a Mack truck, but that was just a little truck going by. So, his buddy's basically teaching him how to internet, because it's been 20 years, and obviously he doesn't know what the internet is. He thinks he doesn't know what cell phones are, really. He was wondering where all the payphones are in 2013. So there's not really no payphones anymore. You got a rare payphone at like major terminals for like, you know, the bus depot or the airport or the train station. You don't have them just around in regular places anymore. It's just places where it might absolutely be necessary to have one in an emergency. But for the most part, people don't use payphones anymore. People don't really use change anymore. When's the last time you had a pocket full of coins?
Ever? Every time I leave the store and pay with cash.
You're still paying with cash. Okay.
Occasionally.
I rarely pay with cash anymore. I rarely end up with coins. I'm always using my card, so.
Yeah, no. We have a fucking change bucket.
I'm part of the plastic universe, so everything that I do is plastic, unfortunately.
Yeah.
I've almost completely converted.
Most of my shit's fucking plastic, but, you know, when I'm trying to not use the plastic, I'll pull out a certain amount of money and then use just that for whatever I need.
Right.
And then I'll end up with a bunch of change that goes into the bucket.
So he's walking through everything with his buddy, and the first thought in his head is that he needs to basically go through one by one by one. His buddy leaves him there to go through the internet, and when he comes back, he is unconscious on the floor. So Joe's completely passed out, and this is when Elizabeth Olsen, Marie, comes back, because he finds this girl's card in his pocket, and rather than call an ambulance, knowing that he's basically a wanted murderer, he calls the person in his pocket to kind of keep it on the down low. and we have her back. I have to say that this relationship between her and him was one of the weirdest I've seen in a while.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of it.
There's a scene where, and it's a little later in the movie, where she just reaches across the car and puts her hand awkwardly on his face. I'm glad you're here, and then just puts her hand on the side of his face. And I don't know what the purpose that was, and it slowly moves to the back of his head, then to his shoulder, and then she just brings it back. Like, why the fuck did I just do that? Like, she was trying to figure out why she did that.
I think she was just trying to be, like, comforting, but did it weirdly.
She did it weirdly, but it was awkward because he was also being awkward. So,
yeah,
it just ended up a whole bunch of awkward, which I guess is appropriate, given the circumstances. I really
liked the warehouse fight.
The warehouse fight was the best. Everything from point A to point B. Like, the whole thing.
Yeah, it was all fucking smooth.
Part of what he does is he wants to find where these fucking dumplings come from. Because that's how he knows he's going to be able to find the people that imprisoned him. Or at least where he was imprisoned. And so Elizabeth Olsen...
At least where they're getting their food every day. Find the food, find the people, well, that's what he does. Fuck everybody up.
He's very smart about it. He basically finds the dumplings that he's looking for because he knows he's been eating them for 20 years what they taste like. And he has, like, some serious adverse reactions. Like, he ran out of one place, just threw up on the sidewalk.
Yeah.
It's like, oh my God. And I guess that could have been, like, psychosomatic and everything. Like, I've been eating dumplings for I don't know how long. This just makes me sick now.
Right.
So he basically hunts the whole thing down, figures out where these people are. And that's when the real fun in this movie begins. He basically becomes Hammerman from point A to point B.
I thought the fun started when he killed a couple of high schoolers.
Well, that was just sort of like the beginning, like him testing out what he's capable of doing. But the fun really started in this warehouse.
It did.
Because it starts with him taking out the guard, and then Rami Malek just dies very, very quickly.
Like, it was so sad. He could have had a good ass role.
He did.
He was just some guy at a desk and got fucking.
He got claw hammered to the skull, is what he got. That was just that was brutal, and just the look of surprise, blood, blah. Probably one of the most brutal deaths in the entire movie, as far as I'm concerned, is just that one bam right on the top of the head.
Right,
and then. Him torturing Samuel L. Jackson was just brilliant. He goes, I'm gonna just kind of cut you here piece by piece until I can pull your head off with my bare hands.
He did a little dotted line.
What the fuck are you doing? What the fuck are you doing? The entire time he's like, no. Well, he goes, be a man. Let me up so we can go nose to nose. Come on. And, you know, it, funny how the things turn later on in the movie when he's got the guy at a disadvantage. He's not going to let the guy up so they can go nose to nose. He wasn't going to do that. He was just going to take him apart.
What was that movie? Was it The Protector?
I'm not sure.
Where, like, he goes up this whole fucking thing trying to get to the top, yeah. Fighting all these people. It was The Protector?
Yeah, where he just kept fucking dudes with elbows and knees.
Yeah!
All the way up. It almost looked like a video game level where he was just going up levels.
Some shit out of Donkey Kong, right?
Except for he was descending instead of ascending.
True.
He was climbing down the tower, not going... He was trying to get out of it.
True.
You're talking about the movie you see?
Old Boy?
Yes.
That Punisher scene when Frank Castle is in jail.
Oh, yeah.
That was like a...
Okay.
I was just talking to you.
Oh, my God, this guy.
There's several movies that are...
We can hear you perfectly when, you know, you're talking to your buddies.
But then, you know, when he's trying to talk about something to kind of add to this, he gets mousy, like, really right. Low. It's like, come on, you know, show that enthusiasm that you show when you're yelling at your buddies. Come on, we know you got it. We know. So,
but anyway,
the scene from beginning to end, how many 2x4s got broken on his back? Like, under normal circumstances... You get smacked in the back with a 2x4. That's going to drive the wind out of you. You're not going to keep fighting.
Right? He hasn't gotten any fucking actual, like, beatings and shit while he was captured.
Right. Well, I mean, he came in there, like, not just a prize fighter, but, like, he came in like one of those people that, they have... Oh, what is the name of that disease? It's another disease.
They don't feel anything?
a neurological disorder where they don't feel anything in the nerve endings at all. So it's really dangerous for them, because if you break a leg or if you hurt something, you don't know.
I think it was SEPA.
Something to that nature. But that's what he was treating it like. Like, he was fighting like he couldn't feel a fucking thing up until they stabbed him in the back. When he got stabbed, he felt it. That's when you could tell he felt something. And as deep as that knife was buried, it should have done some serious damage.
I mean, he was smart enough to leave it in.
He was, until the last minute. When he got out of the elevator, he took it out.
Yeah, and that's why he needed Elizabeth Olsen.
Exactly. Well, he didn't need Elizabeth Olsen. He actually collapsed right out of that building. It was his nemesis, as you'll find out later, that was the one that picked him up and dropped him off in front of his buddy's bar. Again. And that's when they called Elizabeth Olsen over. And this is where Eddie from It comes back in. Reading her the riot act, talking about her relapsing into her drug habits. So we find out that Maria's apparently had a bit of an addictive personality in the past.
But she's clean and she's helping people.
She is. She's clean and she's helping people. But you're also, with that kind of reveal, you're getting a little bit of why she could fall for such a broken guy. Because she understands what it is to be broken. You know?
Yeah.
She's had some shit in her past, and now she's fallen for a guy that's also got some serious shit. Yeah, but she's
like 23, and dude's like 50, 60-something?
I would say like 50. Like, in his 50s, at least. The whole point here was that she was raised to have daddy issues. Like, major daddy issues. And you can't tell me that you haven't run across girls that are like that. That have major daddy issues and date guys that are way older than them.
Ugh.
And there are guys that do it too. There are guys that date girls
this
that are
guy
way
is
older
like than red flag after red fucking flag. Like, he fucking throws her up against a wall and nearly chokes her out for reading his letters to his daughter, which are super personal. And I don't know why any kind of fucking healthcare worker would do some stupid shit like that.
Like, I think she's just
with a person who's clearly unstable.
Oh, she's definitely seeing the PTSD in him, but she's trying to help him too. And by helping, that's when she... It was a weird relationship. Like I said, the whole thing was fucking weird.
It was.
It was uncomfortable. I understand how we got from point A to point B, but it was still uncomfortable. And if I'm entirely honest, I didn't feel a lot of chemistry between the two of them. Like...
No! Not at all!
Almost...
That whole sex scene was just fucking awkward.
Yeah. I'd say a little bit more than just awkward. It was uncomfortable to watch. Even before I knew what the reveal was, it was uncomfortable to watch, because just you didn't feel any real chemistry from them. You felt like this is one guy who he's broken, he's been locked away for 20 years, and a girl who just sees him as somebody that deserves sympathy and pity. So you have this, it almost felt like pity sex, you know what I mean? Like,
not so much pity sex, but there are some girls who are like, I need to fix him.
You think of like a Florence Nightingale kind of thing? You know, it's
some
like
shit like that.
Yeah, it's something. Yeah, I've gotta fix you. I guess I can see that a little bit.
Right?
Don't, but I can see, I understand where we're going there. And the funny thing is, I don't know where she brought him. Where was it that she brought him that this guy had cameras trained on him? He was watching them have sex and recording it.
Well, no, okay, so remember that he fucking, like, went through all the steps to change her name and her medical records and everything and fucking her social security number.
Right.
And, like, completely change her into a new person and shit. Like, I'm pretty sure he was the one that adopted her.
This was her place, right? Like, he took her back to her place?
I'm pretty sure it was her place.
Okay, so basically he's got her place mic'd and camered. Yeah,
exactly.
So he has, secret surveillance on her. That's kind of fucking creepy. Yeah, I wasn't even thinking about
gross.
That. I was thinking that, okay, well, maybe there's something wrong there, but they're still trying to figure out what's going on. So at this point, she and him are kind of doing something rather nasty, and his buddy is in the background. His buddy is still trying to figure out what's going on. This is when his buddy kind of digs up the information that this is this guy that he's going after, or is going after him, is the brother of the girl from back in high school.
He said, "It's not about you, it's about the whore."
Right. It's about the whore, and, well, he said the wrong word, because about 5 minutes later, the whore's brother chokes him out. "You called her a whore! A whore! A whore!" As yep. he's basically choking him out and getting ready to cut his tongue out. And all the while this is happening, Elizabeth Olsen and I keep calling her Elizabeth Olsen. It's Marie and Joe. They go back and break into the old high school to go get some information. So he is running down the exact same information that his buddy tried to relay to him before, you know, they intercepted the messages and wiped them. And, of course, he got killed. So he gets the same exact information from the high school, realizing who and what is going on now.
Very uncomfortable.
The tongue comes 5 seconds later. The tongue.
The tongue.
Yes, so basically the tongue that said the word whore ends up in a box and is sitting and waiting for them when they leave the high school. The prep academy. It was a prep academy? Evergreen Academy?
Something like that, yeah.
And he starts piecing one and one and one together. Yes, I know. I'm going off left and right, and I thought I muted this person, but I can't. It won't mute it on the main... It won't mute it on the main computer, so now I'm sitting here and there's just messages popping up and this person's not getting the clue that I'm not even responding to them.
It's like, fine.
I know. Yeah, it's also like almost 11 o'clock at night and hey, not for nothing. If I don't respond immediately, assume that I'm sleeping and don't try to wake me up.
Right? It might say that I'm active, but I'm not here.
I'm not active. I'm not even on there. Well, yeah, I guess I'm on Facebook.
I don't know. My thing always says that I'm active, apparently, but I set it to look like I was offline, so I don't know why it always says I'm active.
Oh, I can't see you at all. I can't see you at all. I don't see, like, with Omar, when he pops up, it shows the last time that he was online. It shows when he's active. I don't see you at all.
Oh, well, good.
So, on my end, I'm not seeing anything. Just so you know. Huh, if other people are figuring out how to be able to see you, you need to worry about them.
Yeah, true.
Just a little. They figured out a workaround. Moving on. So,
all right, let's speed this up a little bit.
We're speeding it up. So, at this point, they're in the high school. You're seeing all the flashback scenes where you realize that he saw that this guy's sister was basically fucking her father.
But he didn't know that it was her father at the time.
No, he didn't realize that at the time that he first saw, but once he's at the high school and he's reading through everything. He thought she was,
like, fucking a professor or fucking, like, just some random old guy.
Right. So that's what he was spreading around the school. He didn't realize that he was basically spreading around the school that she was sleeping with her father, because he didn't know that was her father.
Yep.
He just saw an old guy that she was sleeping with, and they referred to her as a whore. And that got passed around. Unlike the old movie, the original 2003 movie, the character that Joe portrayed by
old boy.
Yeah, basically Joe from this movie in the old boy movie from 2003, he only tells his best friend, and his best friend is the one that spreads it all over the school. In this particular one, he confesses to have told pretty much everybody.
So yeah.
He is legitimately, like, he was dirt when he was a kid, even as an adult.
Complete piece of shit. I mean, so was Chucky, though.
Yeah, well, Chucky was the friend of a piece of shit. You know, the kind of friend that kind of overlooks... Not just the
friend of a piece of shit, but, like, he was constantly antagonizing Price's sister.
I mean, it was really, really bad.
Was it Price? Is it
Price,
is
that right? Yes. You're right. Right. So this is the Price family. Adrian Price. This is the Price family. So there was Adrian, I don't remember the other children's name.
I don't either. I don't think that... I think they mention it, like, once.
I believe so.
Or twice. But,
I can't remember their names. So what happened
with the Price family...
Yes.
...was everyone found out. It was a huge scandal, and then fucking... They had to, like, change their names and move out of the country and shit. And then the father lost his mind one day.
So that was Arthur Price, the father?
Yep.
Daughter was Amanda. His wife, sorry, go ahead.
No, he walked into his daughter's bedroom... And, like, she looked at me and she was like, "Father, at, like, all happy and shit, and started going to undress, and fucking, he shot her in the chest.
This is another his scene wife, that bothered me a lot.
Yeah. So, yeah, me too. His wife walks in, freaked out. He shoots her.
She didn't freak out. She walked down casually. Like, I think she heard the noise of the original shotgun blast and came down to see what it was.
I think she was in shock.
And, yeah, he shot her before she could even really react.
Yeah.
But this is where I had the problem. Girl upstairs, obviously, we kind of get the idea that she was sleeping with the dad. So that kind of, I understood, it was creepy, but I understood what she was doing. And she didn't understand the shotgun. Like, you see the shotgun, why are you undressing?
Yeah.
Unless you're used to undressing at gunpoint in this house.
Exactly. And then he walks down to the first floor and into his son's room, and his son starts undressing, doing the same exact thing.
I don't think it was his son's room, though. I think it was just, like, the parlor.
Something, I don't know.
It was a sunroom of some sort, but his son was sleeping, or was laying down.
He was reading a book or something.
He was doing something, but how do you not hear the shotgun blasts go off, too? At this point, the kid should be freaked out. I don't fucking know, man.
This movie is full of plot holes, but, you know.
And he says, follow him, and starts undoing his pants. So.
And then he gets shot in the shoulder. And then his father shoots himself in the head.
Right. So, yeah, his father basically shoots him and leaves him for dead. He thought he killed his son. He thought he killed everyone. And then he blows his head off, and probably one of the second most gruesome deaths in the movie, but that was all self-inflicted.
Yeah.
It was a weird reveal that he's going... We've already rushed way ahead.
It was a weird reveal that he was fucking both his children. But, I mean, not unheard of.
You kind of get it from the speech that he's giving. I kind of understood where it was going. I didn't really think...
What I didn't understand was how he never, like, grew up to realize that his father was abusing him and his sister and his mom.
Oh, even at this point, he thought that was all about love and something special that was taken away from him. So I'm wondering if this was just like an all-in-the-family thing, like everybody was sleeping with everybody, not just father.
I'm gonna fucking eat you. If you're gonna say something, then talk up so the rest of us can hear, not just...
Hi, Fredo. Nice to see you. Interrupter.
Hi, Fredo. Nice to see you.
Yes. So I think that it feels like the father might have cultivated, like, an incestuous relationship between all four members of the house. So, like, everybody was sleeping with everybody. And they treated this as if this was a loving thing, like this was absolutely normal. And if you are in a family sort of secluded like that, because they moved to that area. So I'm wondering if maybe they were sort of homeschooled or something to that nature before they went to the academy. And it might have been his money that kind of bought them in.
Possibly.
It was a wealthy family. They called them a legacy family. So Arthur Price... It's been
going on for generations.
Well, I'm just saying that the original records that they ran across, they called them a legacy family, which means that Arthur Price went to Evergreen Academy. And it's possible that he was making donations to that school, so he wanted his kids to go there, too. I guess he didn't expect all of this to come out, which is why the mass homicides and then suicide. But we go through the entire end getting the full explanation of his sister being tortured and all of this this stuff that went down after basically Joe spread around the school that she was sleeping with one of the older staff members. Because nobody knew that was her father back then. They just knew it was a staff member.
But out of guilt and shame, he fucking went and berserk and killed his entire family.
Right. And this is when the things start going way downhill in this movie. Way downhill. Fast. So he asks Joe after this whole thing is, okay, so tell me who I am and why I locked you away. And this is where we're getting this whole walkthrough of what exactly happened. Joe understands what he kind of cost them and realizes that basically, you know, there was a whole homicide thing that he got caught in the crosshairs of and didn't even realize.
And he finds the quote-unquote daughter that he's been shown for the past 20 years sitting in a glass cell.
Right.
Playing cello with bruises all over her face.
Oh, she's walked back. This is before. So he's walking him back before this whole thing, where he says to him, right to his face, he says, you know, you've answered these questions, but you forgot to ask the most fundamental question. You know why you were locked away. The most fundamental question here is,
why did I let you go?
And after they get past that red corridor behind the television screen where he was originally seeing his daughter sort of tied up.
She wipes off the bruise makeup.
We walk.
Oh, looking at you, Amber Heard!
You ran through a few things that were very important. He walks past and shows him the television set of the world's longest television show that only played for one person. And he basically shows him that this whole thing, the whole scene, all of the... he's kind of getting the idea like this was kind of a play for him. He was put through a lot, and he's shown that he was the only one that ever saw this TV show. It was all put on for him. And then when he is brought to the glass case and he sees the girl with the cello who he thinks is his daughter, she gets up and wipes off the makeup and walks away. And this is where the real big reveal happens. Like, what the fuck? You come back here. He's beating on the glass. Mia, come back. Come back. And in the
and
back.
Price is like, fuck that. Nope. Sorry, buddy. That's not Mia. Fun fact. Took a long time to change her name and her social number and
took about
find
20
her
years.
New family.
Why 20
took about
years?
20 years.
20 years is about the perfect time to be able to take care of all that. Find a new family, raise her to have daddy issues, blah, blah, blah. And he starts going through it, and you can start to see the little bits of realization in Joe's eyes.
And he starts playing back all the, like, secret videotapes that he had of them.
Right.
In her house and shit.
And this
he's
is...
like, who is she? And he starts falling down to his knees and screaming and crying, and just kill me, just kill me. No, no, it's not her, no, no.
Because he was going to reveal to her exactly what was going on. And
yeah,
he goes, no, I'm not going to kill you. I wanted you here for exactly this. I wanted to share this moment together, because he shows him his daughter, and his daughter is Marie.
Yeah.
He basically shows them having sex. He goes,
yep.
Basically, I set up the perfect scenario for you to fall in love with and have sex with your daughter. And that's when he sort of breaks down. One of the most melodramatic scenes in the movie. He falls on his knees. No! I
would have started beating the fucking shit out of him right then and there.
That's what I don't get. All of the vengeance that he had from point A to point B. And he took the end of this way too calmly. And he...
I wouldn't say calmly. Well, I'd say he botched the fuck out of the end of it. Whoever the writers are.
He was walked through the mysteries of crime. He was walked through the interview set where his supposed daughter's family was interviewed. And he's just looking at this whole thing. And not once did he lunge after this guy. And I get that he's walking him through what happened over the past 20 years, the stuff that they basically fed him while he was in a cell. But at no point, even after the big reveal of what he basically, you know, manipulated him to do with his own child.
Yeah.
Even after that big reveal, he didn't lunge after him. He just fell to his knees screaming.
Fun fact, bad guy from this was in more things than I can fucking count as well.
Yeah, such as?
Sholto Copley? He was the fucking guy from District 9. He was in Hardcore Henry, fucking the A-Team, Russian Doll.
Oh god, yeah, he's in a lot of different stuff, but he always kind of plays an asshole. Like a real asshole.
Maleficent.
He has been in quite a bit. He was actually in each and every one of the Blocking Camp movies. So he was in Elysium, District 9, and Chappie. He was in all of them.
Yep.
I think that he was like a go-to
like
guy. You know, I feel like he plays like a real... I don't know. He feels a lot like Alan Rickman. You know what I mean? You've seen Die Hard, the original Die Hard movie?
Sorry.
Sorry? Sorry.
I don't know what happened.
Did I lose you for a minute? Was I just talking to myself?
For a second.
For a second. Okay. So I feel like he plays like the Alan Rickman type character. Like, yeah. I feel a lot of Alan Rickman's energy in this. He plays kind of like the snarky bad guy. The only difference is that there's a sniveling undertone to the whole thing. Like, almost any character that he plays, he comes off, like, real sinister, but it's always with, like, sort of a sniveling kind of, well, for lack of a better term, weenie kind of attitude.
Yeah.
And that's what I got from him with this particular film.
I don't know. I liked his character from the A-Team.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
Murdoch.
Still, I mean, this, and they've worked together before, by the way. So he was also in the Men in Black 3 movie with Josh Brolin. So he was part of that movie.
That's right.
Yep, he was. He was in there. He played, oh God, I can't remember the name of the character he played in that, but he was in there. He was one of the creatures.
Yeah.
But that's fine. All in all, I don't agree with the ratings that they gave the movie in general. I think that a lot of the people that rated the film were probably comparing it to the original, you know, and making comparisons, because the original is in, like, IMDb's top 250 list, like 250 movies that you must watch. It's in there.
Hmm.
This film, though, if you take it as a standalone thing and you push away from the fact that it is supposed to be a remake, it's actually not a bad standalone film. I enjoyed it. I didn't expect the twist, and as nauseating as it might be, I can appreciate the film for what it was.
Yeah, I agree.
She calls in basically to make sure to check on Joe at the end of the movie, and this is where he's begging him to kill me. Don't tell her, don't ruin her life. Kill me. Because what do you think she would have done with the knowledge that she slept with her father? What do you think she would have done with that knowledge? Like, she had been looking for her father. What would you have done?
Destroyed her.
That would have wrecked her. So basically, his solution at the end of the movie, I loved it. I liked how they tied it up. He took the $200 million in diamonds and asked to be locked away for the rest of his life. And he imprisoned himself at the end of the movie to protect her. So that, I think, wrapped things up very, very well.
Yeah. I really liked this movie. I'll give it a solid, like, 8.
I would give it at least an 8. I don't agree with the 30% rating on IMDb, personally. No. I think a lot of people that rated it were probably comparing it to the original and being sort of a little closed-minded about the performances here. Josh Brolin, he once again kind of put himself in a role that made me forget that he is who he is. You know?
Right? Again.
I think there's only a couple of actors that, like, I really could have done without. I think Michael Imperioli played a pretty muted character in this. Like, they could have done a little bit more with him rather than just sort of make him, all he did was drive the plot forward. That's it. There wasn't a lot to him in this. And Michael Imperioli's
the guards at the very beginning, you know?
They could have.
Rami Malek
should have had a much larger role in this, but he was still kind of young in his acting days back then. He hadn't gotten anything particularly big at that point. So, I mean, at least a bit role. He played
He have the Night at the Museum?
Was that at the same time? This is 2013. When did Night at the Museum come out?
It came out way before then.
If that was Night at the Museum, let's see. Pain in my fucking ass. The original came out. It was the same year. Same year.
No shit.
Yep. So, my apologies. You know. My apologies. I'm lying.
He was busy that year.
I lied to you. You lied. The original came out in 2006. Like I said, I lied to you. But, I mean, he had a decent role in that. And he was in 2009, and then was he also in the 2014 version?
I don't know. I stopped after the second.
I don't think I saw the third one. I don't think I got as far as the third one.
Wait, no. I don't know. My brain's not working. It's late. Let's wrap this up.
Night at the Museum, Secret of the Tomb was the last one.
I don't think I saw that.
Neither do I. I don't even remember there being a third Night at the Museum movie. That's weird.
Looks like we know what we're watching next.
Right. I remember the Battle of the Smithsonian.
Right.
But I don't remember there
Amelia being a third Earhart one. Was so cute.
So we're going to watch the third Night at the Museum movie? We're going to do
at
that?
At some point.
At some point. Someday.
At some point. I'll throw it on the list.
All right. So, wrapping this up, I mean, all in all, honestly, good movie. I think it's highly underrated. I may realize what a piece of trash it is once I go and watch the original. Truth. We shall see. Do you want to take us out on your regular spiel?
All right, folks. Drink some fucking water, you thirsty bitches. And your meds. Take your meds.
Miss B, just a quick comment. You sound a little froggy. You might need to drink some water.
I do need some water.
I think so. I think we both do. I'm a little froggy, too. My throat's getting a little scratchy, so. We are going to go drink some water like thirsty bitches.
Au revoir.